time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 14th of March, 2015. Island Life is Waiheke Radio's weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12 by the Humble Pie Village Butchery. On Saturday, the 14th of March, David Basham talked to the chair of the Waiheke Local Board, Paul Walden.
Right, well, we have in the studio the chairman of the local board. Paul's here. That applause was, of course, for him. Good morning, Paul. How are you? Good. So it's we'll get you on the air properly. We'll press buttons. It's what known as is looking over the microphone.
Yes.
And you get them right. So I think we've got you.
How's that? You got that, me?
Oh, pearly tones.
Stunning.
So that's great. So the applause, as I said, was for you because you're the most welcome. So, few things. The causeway. Things are going on down there.
Yes. So, we've been working on a series of projects to try and tidy up the causeway, and a part of that is putting some funding to help replace the hard, or you know, to provide a proper hard stand area for the boating community on the island. There's some new environmental protection regulations coming in on the 1st of July, which unless we can address the fashion in which the work's taking place down there, we'll ultimately see the hard stand area not being able to be used. So it's a good opportunity to have a tidy up. We're going to have to pour a fairly substantial concrete pad, put some filtration plants in so that basically it's capturing the anti-foul and the heavy contaminants that are coming off the boats, which is a really exciting thing for the bay because it will hopefully lead ultimately towards restoration of the shellfish beds in the bay, which will help clean the water in the bay. There's also a path going through the reserve, and so the preferred route for people walking through that area will be through the along the coastal esplanade rather than along the side of the road. And there will be a new playground going in there in due course, and it would be nice to look to get a barbecue in there too. We're having some conversations with our coffee cart and co, and it would be nice to see, even if on a maybe a weekend by weekend basis, but yep. Have them operating from within the park on the coastline.
Yeah,
yeah. So just a bit of a heads up. That's all got to happen pretty soon. So I think we're looking at maybe the 20th of next month.
Oh,
at which all of the boats need to be moved.
How's that going to happen?
Well, I mean most of them are under the control of the boat club, so they're working through a plan at the moment. But it will require
Some boats are there forever and a day.
Yeah, some
is
of them
there
are
a time limit of how long they're allowed to be there?
Well, there's a series of issues there. Most of the boats are under the control of the boat club. There's some that are outside of the boat club area. And in that sense, it's not really managed. It has been a traditional function of that part of reserve. But we want to get alongside those boat owners and see how we can facilitate them either, if they've got to the point that they're realising the project can't come to a conclusion, that's fine. Let's move it on. If we need encouragement to get them to take it home, that's great. So there's certainly no shortage of opportunities there. There's a number of boats that are abandoned in the bay, and so we need to be working to get rid of them.
Right.
And then there's some boats which, are pulled up on the beach and shouldn't be. And, there are moorings available in the bay, so we need to make sure that, boats and moorings and people are getting aligned in the right places. And so we're really working in a positive sense to actually, turn this beautiful beach and reserve back into something that we can be really proud of as a community.
Because it is a lovely little spot.
Oh,
even at low tide, it's beautiful. At high tide, it's stunning.
Yeah,
it really has to be something that... was that your stomach or mine? That was my cell phone, I think. People wanting to be in touch with me. Or protesting about the boats already.
Well, maybe. Come and beat my door down.
Yeah, come in
It is a beautiful bay. My family's been living in that bay since the 1930s, and so I do have a bit of an affinity to it. And it's quite heartbreaking when I, you know, when you talk to some families that were living in there, you know, back in those days, and to see the tears in their eyes as they look at the colour of the water and the loss of shellfish and everything else. So it would be nice to think as a community that we're really embracing the notion that we can, you know, have a positive impact on the environment around us, and that's really part of our challenge living here in the middle of the Hauraki Gulf Marine Park. So,
yeah, there's some strong feelings about that. Strong feelings, very much Waiheke, very strong feelings in favour. But I think there's a, doing what Maggie Thatcher, I remember Maggie Thatcher saying, compromise? You mean nobody gets what they want? But I think there can be a nice compromise there people can turn it into a nice park for kids, and people can go, because it's sort of blocked off a bit, isn't
it? Yes, it is.
But it's been a big issue.
And I think that's part of, you know, when I sort of reflect, and you know, on some of the challenges that we've got down there, and I think that's a part of the issue, is that the bay has become disconnected from the community by virtue of the boat club, you know, which has not provided for people to get down to the coastline. And then the way that the reserve has been landscaped, it's sort of created this barrier between, you know, the beach and the community. So it wasn't that many years ago we were holding community regattas down in the bay there, and it would be really cool to get back to that.
That would be fabulous, wouldn't it?
So that would be certainly on my wish list of things to see happening in the next couple of years.
Oh, excellent.
A good fun family regatta with a raft race and...
Because the tide would be in it. Bottles. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Yeah. Lovely.
And, that would be neat. Yeah, I really enjoy that. Glad I'm not on the local board.
I think these are the realities, aren't they? And when I, you know, and this issue in particular, and I totally get that for any council officer coming to Waiheke and looking at the depth of some of these issues, it's very easy to turn around and hop back on the phone and go home.
Yeah.
And you can't begrudge some of that, but these are some of the challenges that actually, you know, as a local board, you know, we've actually got to step up and
people
say, well, it's important that we work through these issues as a community and get to a point of compromise, you know.
We've got to look at the big picture. Yep. What's it going to be out there? You know, what's it going to be for the kids and that kind of thing? That's what I look at. But there's, because I'm not much of a boat person, I always say there's only two good days for a boat: the day you buy it and the day you sell it. Most people say that, right?
I strongly disagree.
Yeah, I know you do. I know you do. Yeah, you've really enjoyed them.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. I mean, we are an island.
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, I see people go out and they're having a lot of fun, people fishing and doing all sorts of things. Now, budget, 10-year budget.
Yes.
Who's going to tell the mayor? Gosh.
Oh, gee.
Now, that's on your... That's on the Waiheke Local Board's Facebook page.
Yeah, it's on the Facebook page. I mean, there have been mail outs to households. I mean, the process has been somewhat wanting. And, you know, the mail out to households was buried in the middle of a Briscoe's flyer. It's as if it wasn't wanting to feature prominently. And there haven't been, you know, a great level of submissions to it regionally. But it is a very significant... or the effects of the budget have very, very widespread and significant impacts on our communities and communities right across the region.
So submissions close Monday.
Yeah, submissions the 16th. Are closing now. And
they've got to get to the Facebook page and have a look. I mean, that's where I looked.
Yep, absolutely.
So go to the Facebook page, Waiheke Island Local Board's Facebook page. Everything's there, and you could still got time, even if it might mean you've got to spend a Sunday typing away or Monday or something. But, hey, have a go.
Yeah, the impacts of it really is that we've lost substantive budgets that were under control of the local board, and we're going to be stuck in a position of having some hard decisions to face. You know, do we want to be cutting back the amount of rubbish pickup that we have around this island, this end of the island where we're mainly residing? Are we happy to have reserves with long grass? Are we happy to have gardens without flowers on them? These sorts of things, you know, and or do we have a conversation about perhaps some of the, you know, the broader trail network around the island and say, well, look, maybe we need to be cutting back on the maintenance And even considering, you know, closing some of that stuff. Because I'm just very conscious as a local board, our community has put a lot of effort through the local board planning process, which was well consulted, into identifying areas of need. And so whilst we're dealing with some of these issues, such as down at the causeway, we've also got really important issues around getting children walking to and from school safely and riding their bikes. And so when we're sort of stuck in a position of compromise on every front and sort of, if we're going to realise some of these outcomes, which we need to, you know, for our young people in the community, and also some of the conversations that we've been having and will be having ongoing around social and pensioner housing, all of these things require financial resource to keep having those conversations. And so it is going to mean a cutback in some other areas, and that's just the reality. We have to, you know, we're going to have
to... It's a really difficult one, that, isn't it?
Because it's
you've
hard.
Got the pensioner thing, all those tracks and trails and things, people have put a lot of work into all of those, and gosh, what happens if they just get left? And it's really hard to just suddenly have all of this. I think the impact seems greater on us. I mean, it seems like in the city when they make a sort of budget cuts, it doesn't seem to, I don't know, I can never find what they've cut back, but with us, it's very noticeable.
Well, I think for me, and also for other outlying communities around the Auckland region, because it's not just us. You know, we're not Remuera or St Heliers that's largely developed, and we've got footpaths to and from our schools and the parks are developed. And it's as if the local board's been given enough budget just to do the window dressing, so you can do your community grants, you can do your events, you know, you can keep cutting the grass in the garden. And, you know, in one of these areas of savings, which they foisted upon us in spite of this community being staunchly against having chemical weed spraying through parks and reserves since the 1980s. They came and said, well, you know, and through our most recent local board plan, we're going to start using chemicals and that's going to save us $400,000 a year. And that's where we've pushed back and said, no, find other areas to make savings.
Yeah.
And so that's the reality of it. But, you know, we actually have to say as a community, and I strongly believe that we need to be dealing with some of these demons. You know, how do we get our kids walking to school safely? Because we just see these life cycles where, these cultures that are developed at a young age that you're reliant on jumping in a motor vehicle and driving everywhere follow through until we have, obesity and heart rate, heart issues, which affect all of us.
Yeah, and after a while people go, oh, well, they're fine now, so... Are they not? You can hear the town people saying, well, are they getting to school okay now?
Yep.
And of course they are, but that's not the way we want it.
So there's interesting challenges, even when we've gone to the council and said, look, well, you know, these things are important to us. We're going to mobilise some volunteers and we're going to get in and build a path to the school. And we're even getting pushback on that front. And so it's a very, very frustrating position to be in, but you know, it's interesting times for Auckland Council. The council's you know, this budget has the potential to just about disband the council. There's a tremendous amount of friction out there, and if it goes through as it's planned without some significant changes, you know, there's going to be a lot of upset communities. So we're not alone.
No.
But it's just a matter of you know, and that's just the reality. We're going to have some tough conversations ahead.
But you can, it's more, I don't know, it just seems more visible here than Remuera.
Oh, well, but
because they've got nice pavements and all those kind of things.
Everything is. And this is something that Auckland Council struggles with Waiheke over, is that everything is visible here. Because we're a tight community and we've got clearly defined borders and we all sit on the ferry and the bus and talk to each other, we all know what's going on. Yeah.
Actually, we can sort of mobilise people quite quickly, can't we, really?
So things which you would otherwise be able to easily bury as a community, you know, we do largely have a finger on the pulse. So.
Yeah. Oh, no, you do. Yeah. It doesn't take much. I can think of issues in the Gulf News on the Thursday morning, and by Friday there's Facebook pages and all sorts of things up and going. Yeah. We're very good at getting things sorted, but...
Yep.
It's not easy. I see a lot of energy going into this idea of John's idea of being independent. It seems like it's a monster. I've been thinking about it, and I've been going too hard.
Yeah. Well,
is the local board involved?
And me too. Well, no. I mean, it's John's.
His baby.
It's John's baby, and he's driving it. You know, I absolutely 100% support us having the conversation because we have to. When you look at the makeup of the legislation for Auckland Council, which is, you know, based on this notion of subsidiarity, i.e. decision-making is made at as local level as possible, and that decision-making comes with budgets. It's the antithesis of what we're seeing. And so when I follow through this conversation that we're, or you know, you follow through the conversation that John's having, and you look at establishing perhaps Waiheke as a district council under an Auckland acting as a regional council, so we take their regional rules, you know, which might be one of the notions that comes out. If that actually makes it onto the table of the local government commission, they're going to take one look at it and then look at the Auckland Council legislation and say, well, this is exactly what you meant to be having now. What's gone wrong? And I think that, and that's the reality, when you look at how much budget this local board is getting control of through this long-term budget, it's less than 2%. 2% of what the council say they spend on
Waiheke. See, that's not what we believed. That's not what I would have believed if you asked me. I would have looked it around the other way.
Well, and that's,
98%.
And that's exactly the point. You know, when the local board is meant to be control of all things local, you ask yourself, well, what's regional about Waiheke? Nothing. Yeah.
And the that's what we wanted, didn't it? That's absolutely. What you were talked about that's at what, the election time. It's not that you promised something and it hasn't happened. That's what we were talking about. Yep. That's why you come on the air.
That's absolutely
why we talk. Yep. And that's why the local board's been really open with the radio and talk. And you know, I've been along to meetings and I can see the frustration of
And people. I think it's more important than ever at this time that we're having these conversations. And I think the example that we've witnessed over the past week with the beautiful Kauri tree out in West Auckland and sitting through the debate in Auckland Council on Thursday last week, you know, where the mayor, the deputy mayor, you know, the senior council staff and the majority of councillors are sitting there saying, well, this is what we've empowered our staff to do. We need development. We need things to happen. We've got a housing crisis and we've got to let them get on with the job. And actually, you know, this is the reality of the political environment that we're sitting in. And so the likes of the Waitakere Ranges Heritage Protection Area, but also the Hauraki Gulf Marine Park that we're sitting in the middle of, you know, these are areas that are under threat and we need to be pushing back to make sure we protect them.
I mean, they say development. It's not like it's going to be a massive housing project. I mean, you know.
Well, but that's exactly the point.
Yeah.
You know, yes, there is apparently a housing crisis and a shortage of housing and there's a need to build more houses.
But there's those a couple of houses are not going to change anything.
There's a hell of a lot of other opportunities aside from chopping down some mature kauri trees in the middle of the forest. You know, because you follow that through, and well, let's start paving, you know, some of those, the beaches. Let's reclaim the bays and start building houses there, you know, more ribbon development around the island. You know, we could easily fit 100,000 people on here.
Yeah, they pave paradise and put up a parking lot. That's the one.
So,
but
yeah.
That's what it's. That's what it almost seems like. They just.
So it was a good. It was lovely to see young Michael Tavares taking this.
Yeah, I thought I recognised him.
Yeah,
I thought, oh, I know you
up the tree. Good to see Waiheke. You know, environmentalists featuring strongly in that conversation.
Yeah, a lot of people were really in favour of him being arrested and being dragged out of the tree. The police had a lot more sense than that.
That's right.
It wasn't.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's certainly mobilised, you know, support internationally. It's, I mean, it's great to have, you know, the likes of Helen Clark and good old Rachel Hunter. But also significantly, even the Minister of Conservation's come out just last night with a press statement quite scathing of the council. And so whilst the council has been defending their processes as robust, the Minister of Conservation came out yesterday and said, well, you know, these consents like this should be notified. And there was an interesting debate that took place on Thursday where Councillor Mike Lee was making just that point. You know, we're sort of undermining the civic rights of citizens by you know, disabling them from having a say on issues that do have a big effect on communities.
Did I
bore you enough?
No, I think that's brilliant. I think the up there was the last first place. You should take a tree down.
Yes.
I mean,
they were there.
They were there in numbers. And if you watched local media over here, local social media, people were pounding away.
Yes.
Getting the message out.
So, yeah, just one last thing. I'm off now to have a bit of a working bee down at the Sea Scouts to tie down our boats that are on the beaches. But we do have a super storm coming our way, a super cyclone. It's had devastating effects up in Vanuatu overnight. It's been on the radar for a couple of weeks. Originally intended or expected to have, they described it as of nuclear proportions, but, you know, one of the biggest storm potentially to travel past our coast. So there's no saying where it's going to go, but potentially we're looking at some pretty fiery weather on early next week. So certainly a good time to make sure your roof's well screwed down, your boats are secured, you haven't got loose iron and that sort of stuff lying around your house.
Because people are saying, oh, well, I've got a civil defence report here because we get them.
Can you read that?
And that I can read it. That was on Friday.
Yes.
But it's changed since then.
Yes.
But the thing is, just because it's going to change doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Yes.
It may move away from us a little.
Yep.
But that's not far. And it's going to have an effect on us. I hear people go, oh, no, it's just going to go past us.
Yeah.
You can't dream like that. That's not safe.
It absolutely may move away, and that's just the reality. But
it's still going to hit us somehow.
It's a good opportunity to actually, you know, to bunker down and make sure that things are tight and safe and sound.
Well, I remember having a building site that back in my house when one was coming, and we went to a great, and it didn't happen, but it was very good for us and the carpenter to work out what we needed, and I thought it was a great idea. Yep. And I mean, it's just, it is so hard to know, but I do think that it's going to, Wangaparoa seems to be the part, Great Barrier.
Yeah, Barrier's.
Because Great Barrier is the classic name, isn't it? It's the Great Barrier. It gets hit. Wangaparoa, Hawke's Bay they're talking about, lots of flooding, so we need to be very careful because you look at it today and you think, oh.
Hard to imagine, isn't it? The calm before the storm.
But we need to be very, very careful. And I'm on the local
Civil defence,
so they're all very good at it. Well, I do it through my work because I've got 10 people there.
Yep.
We've got to be able to be ready to do things, and we've got all our safety things, and but people just need to be careful. And those sussy on Facebook people are saying if there's older people living near you, just look out for them and just make sure they're
Absolutely. I mean, it's a good it's a good day today to pop next door and see your neighbours.
Yeah, just make sure, and, make sure, make sure they've got torches
and that they're aware that there might be a storm coming as well, and that they know that you're thinking about them.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Waiheke's pretty good like that, aren't they?
Yeah,
I'm very impressed with the civil defence emergency things over here. They're really, you see them just, I've been in a meeting when there was a storm.
Yes.
It wasn't a big storm, but it was a storm. And it was just amazing to watch what people were doing. You can be very proud of everybody.
Yep.
Just nothing seems to be a bother.
Yep.
And they were looking after people, checking everybody, watching out for trees on the roads. And some of them were just volunteers.
Yes.
But they really love it. Okay, Paul, well, thank you very much. When's the next board meeting?
We've just had one last Thursday, so it'll be in a fortnight.
A fortnight.
Yep.
Okay. So, and they're at the
Bowling Club.
Yep. How's the building
the
going
village
on?
Green? No, the building's going good, but it's going on for a wee while yet.
Is it?
Yeah.
It looks good.
It does.
I like it.
Yeah.
It looks sort of fits in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoever designed it sort of got it nice and
begins to look like it was
compact.
Meant to be.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. So when do you guys move back there?
It's anticipated to be at least 2 months away still.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah.
Things happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that looks good there.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, the old bowling place is handy, though.
Oh, the bowling club's lovely.
Yeah, it was good. I've been to a meeting there.
Yes.
It was good. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, thanks, Paul, and we'll be in touch, and you can be back again in the month's time or whatever.
Lovely.
Alrighty. Okay. Right. Cheers. Thanks. Bye.
You've been listening to the Interviews from Island Life, a weekly look at Waiheke people, events, and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.